It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, Kira Pace and Lori Fisher.
If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. I hope you are having a lovely Saturday morning, and we do hope you can spend the hour with us, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so that's what we're looking for, your participation, very, very important. We would love it if you would call soon, because we want to talk to you if you have a question or answer for us. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we have a toll free number. 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. This is a good time to call. We want to hear from you, and we want you to call early enough in the show where you can give us the complete benefit of your thought and your question. So, 415-841-4134, or toll free, 866-798-8255. Also want to remind you, you can email us in live email at mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one. MindsOverMatter1@gmail.com. They will pop up in front of me. We prefer it when you call because we enjoy talking to you. But if you want to email, that is fine too, with a question or answer. Also in live stream, of course, at kalw.org. And the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time today after our show. And that will also be at kalw.org and many, many other places that start with KALW. All right. All that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions, which I know is what you were waiting for. Here's the first intro. Kira Pace wishes a happy 420 to all the adult volleyball and kickball enthusiasts out there. If they're not too stoned to see the ball, I guess.
No, it is my understanding that that is what is happening at Hippie Hill today.
It all sounds very wholesome.
Yeah. Volleyball and kickball.
How is that linked to 420 exactly?
It is not.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
I believe for the first time ever, festivities at Hippie Hill have been canceled. There are other things throughout the city to do, is my understanding. Anyway, but I could be wrong. Though he is not technically been, or has not technically been invited, Lori Fisher is moving his location from the English to the Tortured Poets Department, where he suspects virtually all of his students are perhaps secretly doing all of their homework.
I believe I'm not in the Tortured Poets Society or department, but I hope to be. And most importantly, this week's courtroom shenanigans remind our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, of nothing so much as a slightly more dignified Jerry Springer episode. He awaits the flying chairs.
That would liven it up.
It would. And it's not crazy to think it'll happen.
At least outside. Anyway, welcome to Minds Over Matter, and we'll begin the questioning, or excuse me, the questions with Kira Pace.
All right. I am going to give you the name of a property that has at some point been known as the Summer White House, and I want you to tell me the president who summered there. So I have eight properties, and they are Spiegel Grove. That's S-P-I-E-G-E-L Grove. Number two is Gray Gables. Number three is Hotel Champlain, C-H-A-M-P-L-A-I-N, like the lake. Number four is Harlequendon, H-A-R-L-A-K-E-N-D-E-N. Number five is Springwood. Number six is Rancho del Cielo. Number seven, and it's probably Rancho, but Rancho del Cielo. Number seven is Blue Heron Farm, heron like the bird. And number eight is Prairie Chapel Ranch. So once again, Spiegel Grove, Gray Gables, Hotel Champlain, Harlequendon or Harlequendon, Springwood, Rancho del Cielo, Blue Heron Farm, and Prairie Chapel Ranch. What presidents were at each of those properties?
All right, Lori, go ahead.
I'm gonna cede the ball to you. I know you know presidential stuff and all. I'm just flailing here at this. They all sound wonderful, and I've never been to any of them or heard of them. So I'll give you my, how many can we get, Kara? Three or four?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Dana. Run the table.
So you asked how many we can get, and then Dana, go ahead. So the Hotel Champlain, it was the occasional, I don't know if it was every year, but it was the occasional summer White House of William McKinley.
That is correct.
That's upstate New York. That's Plattsburgh, I think, something like that.
Plattsburgh, New York.
Right. And Spiegel Grove, of course, is the home of one of my favorite named presidents. And that's Rutherford Burchard Hayes.
And
that's in Ohio, Spiegel Grove, Ohio.
Fremont, Ohio.
Fremont, Ohio, excuse me. And I won't do any more. I mean, I may not know them all anyway. The Joanne had Rancho del Ciejo, which is, that's Ronald Reagan. So.
Oh, is that a J and did I mistype that? But yes. Yes, that is Reagan and that is the Santa Ynez Mountains.
Right. And what were the other ones that were left? I'm sorry.
So the ones that we have left are Gray Gables, Harlequendon, Springwood, Blue Heron Farm, and Prairie Chapel Ranch.
This is a bit of a guess. Is Gray Gables Grover Cleveland?
It is Grover Cleveland.
Wow. All right. That was the one out of New Jersey Shore, I think. Yeah.
No, this is the one Bourne, Massachusetts. So evidently, Grover Cleveland summered in a different house every time because there are like five different places that he had. But this is one in Massachusetts.
Okay. All right. Leave it out. And then, if you would just read the ones that are...
The ones that we have left, and again, these are the properties that have been known as the Summer White House at some point. The ones we have left are Harlequendon, Springwood, Blue Heron Farm, and Prairie Chapel Ranch.
All right. And we have some lines open right now. If you'd like to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you. Area code 415-841-4134. Again, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Give us a call. And Lori, go ahead.
All right. Well, Kara had a wide geographic lens. I have a very narrow one. I was, for some reason, reading about my hometown, Chicago, today and stumbled upon an article about the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame, which I hadn't heard of. It was established in 2010. And I want to know who the six initial inductees to the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame are. All very well known, all either from or did the writing in or about Chicago. And so I'll give you two or three each. There's six people who were inducted in that first year.
Sandberg.
Yeah, right. That would have been my guess there too.
Yeah, Carl Sandburg is Illinois, but not so much Chicago.
Nobel.
These are more Chicago-y.
What about Upton Sinclair, or did he just write of Chicago?
Well, he's in a couple years later, so he's not.
Okay.
Not in the first class.
So,
good guesses.
These are all probably late 19th century, early 20th century writers, am I?
Let's see. Yes, I think I associate them all as 20th century writers.
Is Saul Bellow in it?
He is. Saul Bellow was one of the first inductees. One of the Nobel Prize winners as well, and very much taught at the University of Chicago. So, excellent. That's one of them.
There's six.
There's five more.
Did they have to be born in Chicago?
No, but they had to either reside in Chicago or write specifically about Chicago. Right. And they're all, as I look at the list, every one of them, I go, oh, yeah, I associate them with Chicago. Either they set a novel there, which meant they probably lived there or grew up there. Hmm.
But, all right. And are there, how many women are on this list?
Two. So of the five left, two are women, three are men.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And like I say, all well-known. So I'm looking for the five, besides Saul Bellow, who was inducted in 2010 to the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame, who are the five other initial inductees. And it's a wide breadth of things they wrote, that kind of genres they wrote in. I don't know if that helps a little, but it might.
All right. So is it possible they just could have been born in Chicago and then done their work mostly other places?
It's possible, but as soon as I saw all the names, I associated them. I don't know if they stayed in Chicago, but I associate their work. They are associated with Chicago. Some of their works are set in Chicago. A couple of them I know lived in Chicago or very well affiliated with the city. A couple of their best works are set in Chicago for sure. No one will doubt their Chicago-ness.
How about Nelson Algren?
Ah, excellent. Yeah, Man with the Golden Arm is set there.
Yeah,
he's in that first class. Very good. Okay, he might be the most obscure of them. I'm not sure, because that's hard to know, but he's pretty well known. So we have Bellow and Algren. We're looking for four more.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So from last time, I asked you the Egyptian scientists who measured the circumference of Earth to 21 BC. That's an awful long time ago. That is 2,245 years ago. His name was Eratosthenes, and he did measure within 50 miles. That is just unbelievable, you know, at the time. That's 2,245 years ago, but yet, about 400 years ago, they were executing people in Europe for saying the Earth is not flat. Okay, so that takes that. Let's talk about Egypt itself. What year was the first peace treaty in history?
No, we don't. We wouldn't know that.
Okay, I'll give you the answer. 1269 BC. And, all right, it was being a pharaoh and the king of Hittite, which is modern-day Turkey. All right, which pharaoh it was? I'll give you a hint. The Ten Commandments.
Ramses
the Second. Okay. The first labor strike in history happened 1170 BC. Again, that is 3,194 years ago. All right, what is the name of the pharaoh that the labor strikers struck against?
I don't know.
Okay, it was his grandson, Ramses the Third. Okay, last part of the question. Besides Eratosthenes and so on, Hypatia of Alexandria was a great scientist who not only proved that the Earth go around the Sun, not just even in circular orbit, but actually proved it was elliptical orbit. What happened to her?
This is rapidly turning into the Hypatia program, I think.
yeah, it is good.
She was on last week, and now she's on this week, and I think she was the week before. The
reason I would say that,
she was killed by a mob.
Yeah, leave it like that. So what I like to see, there's a movie about her, a great movie. What is the name of that movie? Everybody should watch it. I emailed it to you last night.
Funny Girl, I think.
Yeah. Funny Girl.
No,
it is called Agora. Agora. A-G-O-R-A. Please watch that. You can watch it online. It is a great movie. Thank you. Always a great show. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And we have some lines open if you'd like to give us a call. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or toll-free 866-798-8255. All right. Let me give you a couple questions here. So, I found out this fact not long ago. What is the most commonly altered and counterfeited coin in the world? What is the most commonly altered and counterfeited coin in the world?
Is it currency, or could it be something like a subway token?
No, it's currency.
Wow.
All right.
I don't know.
What is the most commonly altered and counterfeited coin in the world? It is a real coin, real currency.
Is it a country that relies more on coins than paper currency?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Both.
The euro, like just the 1 euro is a coin, is it not?
Yes, it is a coin. It's not that.
Okay.
It is not the euro.
I don't know.
So it's a common coin. It's a coin that we're all familiar with.
Does it make sense that it's so counterfeited? Like, are they still an economy that uses a lot of coins in, I don't know, parking meters and telephones?
It's an economy that uses coins. Yeah.
How about the peso?
Not the peso. Right.
Is it the quarter, the U.S. Ooh. Quarter?
Is not the U.S. quarter.
That was good. Okay. I like that.
What is the most commonly altered and counterfeited coin in the world? Okay. Second question. Here, what I'm going to do is give you some very famous literary characters whose first names are not always known. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are known if you have read everything about this character, but they're not, when you talk about them, you're generally talking about their last names. So I'm going to give you some names of some very famous literary characters, all in English language. And just tell me what their first names are, okay? Number one is Magwitch from Great Expectations. Number two is Mr. Murdstone from David Copperfield. Number three is Raskolnikov from Crime and Punishment. Number four is Professor Moriarty from the Sherlock Holmes stories. Number five is Reverend Dimmesdale from The Scarlet Letter, which everybody had to read at some point in their lives. Number six is Miss Havisham from Great Expectations. Number seven is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde from Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And the last one I'm looking for, the whole first and last regular name, and that's Mr. Dick from David Copperfield. So again, what are the first names, and in one case, the first and last name of these famous literary characters? Number one, Magwitch from Great Expectations. Number two, Mr. Murdstone from David Copperfield. Number three, Raskolnikov from Crime and Punishment. Number four, Professor Moriarty from Sherlock Holmes. Number five, Reverend Dimmesdale from The Scarlet Letter. Number six, Miss Havisham from Great Expectations. Number seven, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde from Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And number nine is Mr. Dick. I need the first and last name, the real first and last name of Mr. Dick from David Copperfield. All right.
Ooh.
I'll give you each one guess. We'll start with that.
I know one. Carrie, you want the first one?
Which one do you know? Just to
I know Dimmesdale.
That's the only one I know too.
Go ahead, you test it.
I think, isn't it Arthur?
It is.
It is Arthur.
Yeah.
All right. That was shared by the two of us.
All right.
Well, I'm giving you full credit. This is one of those where my memory has everyone you named. I said I've read that book, and oops, I do not know. Dr. Jekyll and Moriarty. I don't know. I think we leave it out to the audience or Joanne, maybe. You have another one, Kara?
Raskolnikov, is that a D name?
No, it's not
a
D.
Okay, name. Then no.
There is a, I'll go as far as to say there's a D in it, but it doesn't start with a D.
That's
what you're asking. Not Dimitri, okay. Dr. Jekyll's the one I'm on the edge of knowing, but I don't. Yeah, I want to say Frederick or Robert.
That's been
or?
Pretty consistent in terms of all the movies. They use the same names, so they haven't really changed that.
Is it like Gloria?
No.
That's okay.
Okay, no, everybody, anybody in our book group, call
it's
in.
Not Tiffany either.
It looks like Joanne has a guess that popped up, and I missed it.
That's Abel Magwitch is what Joanne
Yes, Abel Magwitch is correct. Magwitch, the convict who becomes Pip's mentor. Yes, that's Abel Magwitch from Great Expectations. So awesome. Just to go over what we have here, what is the most commonly altered and counterfeited coin in the world? And the second question, what are the first names of these famous literary characters? The ones we have left are Mr. Murdstone from David Copperfield, Raskolnikov from Crime and Punishment, Professor Moriarty from Sherlock Holmes, Miss Havisham from Great Expectations, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde from Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and the first and last name of Mr. Dick from David Copperfield. So, all right, leave that out. And I will say that Tristan has sent me the right answer on the coin, but I'm going to hold off on that just for a minute to give other people a chance to guess. But just Tristan, you have the right answer. And all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, okay. Okay, I know one of the Chicago authors.
Great.
And Theodore Dreiser's sister Carrie.
You know, Theodore Dreiser is in the Hall of Fame, and he went in year two. So he's not an initial inductee. I thought he'd be in year one, but he
really
didn't.
Okay.
Give her a bow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks anyway. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. And if you'd like to give us a call, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. Mithras. Oh, okay. That's a good guess. She says, great show. Sorry, I'm so bashful. Don't be bashful. So we're not going to attack you. And she's wondering about Studs Terkel.
That is 100% correct. And I'm so glad. He had a radio show for years, and he wrote, his most famous book is Working and Good Times, and he's the nonfiction writer on it, or interviewer, great inventor of oral
good,
history.
Very good guess.
Yes.
Maybe it's not a guess. Maybe it's just
I think she knew. Well deserved. I'm so glad to see that Studs Terkel was on there. Well named Studs Terkel.
Very good. Very good. Okay. And let's see now, just to remind you that you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. The panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor. Lori Fisher teaches at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. You know, somebody emailed me the other day and said that, we listened to the show that you had everybody was gone. You were off stargazing and I was in London. And the sound quality was so much better. And I said, well, that's because we were all sitting in a little studio with mics 2 inches in front of our mouth. And the sound quality would be better. So, yes, we're doing Zoom for the time being. So
what year was the repeat from?
1957.
Our best
it was 2000. It was just pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Yes. Kira had already had the mumps at that point, I think. So we'll try to up the level of our sound quality as much as we can, considering we're all on Zoom. Do our best. Anyway, okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Well, I have a guess about the authors. This particular author, his favorite
I think you have to
artist,
turn down your radio, though. You might have to do that.
His favorite artist was at the University of Chicago. He taught art. His name was J. Allen St. John. And he used this artist in most of his early books. The author is Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Oh.
And is it? Are you thinking he's in the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame?
I'm hoping for him.
He did not make the first year. I'll see whether he came in later years. But I like the explanation of his story. But no, he's not. He wasn't in that first grade class. Sorry.
I think you're all wonderful. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice of you. All right, call again. Please call again.
Call every week.
And all right, let's see. I guess Kira, you go ahead.
All right. What actor plays the longest running primetime live action female character of all time? And what actor plays the longest running primetime live action male character of all time?
Are these people currently on? Is this on current TV? May I ask?
Yep, they are.
Is it Marissa Haggerty of Law and Order?
Yeah,
the longest running.
Mariska Hargitay. Yes, she is as Olivia Benson on Law and Order SVU. She is the first answer to this question.
And I believe the daughter of Jane Mansfield. Is that correct? I
think yes.
Also true.
Yeah. And we want the equivalent male?
Yep.
We just watched that. We just watched that yesterday. Or the other night, I should say. So.
You watched Law and Order?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Law and Order SVU.
And how many years is the male? Fewer or more than Mariska Haggerty?
Well, Mariska Hargitay is the longest running primetime live action character, period, of all time. So the male counterpart has fewer episodes than does Mariska Hargitay.
But I'm sorry, the male one is also currently on?
The male actor is also currently on.
Huh. Is it by any chance on the same show?
Or the same kind of series of shows? You know,
no, is it literally the same show?
It is literally the same show.
Cool.
Yeah, then it's it's what's his name? I can't remember. Not Ice-T. Is it Ice-T?
It's Ice-T.
Okay.
No kidding.
Yeah. There you go.
Impressive.
There you go.
Yeah, as Finn Tutuola.
Does your husband still watch all those shows?
You know, he has not watched a Law and Order in a long time.
Oh, I thought he was a big Law and Order.
He was, yeah. It's just we stopped. We don't have cable anymore. We do streaming, so it's not like consistently on anything that we have going.
Okay. So.
Good memory. Yes, he was. He was a fan of the.
You don't have the USA franchise. Network where they run those shows 24 hours.
No, we do. It's just not as you know. You don't turn the television on, and the USA Network is just automatically on. Streaming works a little differently, so
takes a minute.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to hear from you. Please feel free to give us a call with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Chris has emailed and said that the first name of Professor Moriarty is James, which is correct. Ooh. That is correct. James Moriarty. Sherlock Holmes stories. And as much as they talk about him, he's actually only prominently featured in two stories. So he's mentioned in a couple of others, but
he comes up in a lot of the films and TV series.
Right? Yeah, because he's the master villain. But he's really only in a couple of Sherlock Holmes stories in a major way. All right, and Laurie, you go ahead. Your question.
All right. Well, last week I asked a three body problem, so to speak, about. Earth, Sun, and Moon that were in the titles of Oscar-nominated films, and I actually got a letter from one of my friends liking the question. So this week's version is there have been seven songs since 1950, between 1950 and 1990, that had either Earth, Moon, or Sun in the title that became number one on the Billboard charts. And most of them are in the range of our audience's listening. So we're looking for song titles that became number one hits on Billboard that either word moon, two of them, sun, three of them, or earth, two of them. Give you two each.
All right, go over that once more.
So I'm looking for number one Billboard hits starting in 1950 and going through 1992. There were seven of them. that either had the word sun, moon, or earth in them. And unlike the movie titles, this is the entire word. So it's not like moonlight or sunshine. It's sun, moon, or earth.
What about I Feel the Earth Move?
Yes, I Feel the Earth Move by Carole King is one of them. Very good.
Good job.
Yeah. 1971.
Joanne thought of one that I was sort of thinking of, but I think she got there first. Moon River?
Moon River did not make number one, I was surprised to see.
Yeah. All right.
A great guess. It's clearly in there.
Huh.
It's the right
thing. And Rita is wondering about Here Comes the Sun.
No, Here Comes the Sun did not become number one, surprisingly.
House of the Rising Sun.
Yes, House of the Rising Sun. By, you remember who recorded it?
I never remember this name. It's terrible. Like, this has come up so many times. I never remember.
Is that the Animals?
Is it the Animals?
It is the Animals. Yeah. Very good. 1964. Every garage band in the world played that song. So you have House of the Rising Sun. I Feel the Earth Move. We're looking for more moon, sun, and earth.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Question for you. I went back in my memory because I took a course at NYU called The Religious Thought in Tolstoy and Dostoevsky. And to tell you the truth, I can't remember the first name of Raskolnikov, but let me give you the first name of the other two people. Theodore, as in Theodore Dostoevsky. Is that also the name? Probably not.
No.
What about Leo or Leonid?
No.
Okay, it was just a chance. Let me ask you this question, okay? Who was, as far as, who's taller? O.J. Simpson or Brooke Shields?
Sounds like you're looking for Brooke. Sounds like you're looking for Brooke Shields here.
Brooke Shields is about 5'10", I think. She's not 6 feet. O.J. Simpson is
taller. Say that again.
I think Brooke Shields is around 5'10", 5'11", something like that. She's tall, but I mean, she's tall for a woman, but she's not tall for a football player.
Yeah, but he also said is. I am guessing this is some sort of joke answer in some way.
Ooh.
No joke.
Okay.
Actually, she's not 5'10". She's taller than that. Who's the singer who was 5'10"?
A singer who was 5'10"?
Yeah, there's a singer who's 5'10".
I believe Perry Como was 5'10".
Who?
Perry Como.
Well, I'm thinking of a woman. Carly Simon is 5'10".
Okay.
But Brooke Shields is taller. She's 6 feet tall, believe it or not. That's tall. That's tall, noticeably tall for a woman. And so how tall was O.J. Simpson?
5'11".
No. He's tall. He's 2 inches taller than Brooke Shields.
Oh.
But what about these two people? Are you ready? Napoleon Bonaparte or Winston Churchill?
Napoleon Bonaparte was about 5'5", 5'6", something like that.
He was 5'7", 5'8", actually. Like, he wasn't...
Who do you think is taller?
Churchill was taller.
Actually, that was a trick question. They were both the same height. You don't think of Churchill as being short, but everyone says, well, you know, the Napoleon's short. They were both 5'6" tall.
Okay.
Although maybe Napoleon measured in metric, which make him look a little taller.
Maybe taller.
But you know, isn't that funny? I say, you know, Churchill. You know, why do we think of him as taller than? But did you think of him as being only 5'6" tall?
Constantly.
Huh?
No.
But, okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. And if you'd like to give us a call, I think we have a couple of lines open. That's area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Mike has emailed and said, let's see, for the Earth, Moon, and Sun question, wondering about Blue Moon of Kentucky, Bad Moon Rising, or Let the Sun Shine In.
The very first one, Blue Moon, that kind of rock and roll version, 1961 by the Marcells, the bomb but a bomb version. Give them a bell for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones, no. The other ones were all in the top 10, but did not make number one. But the first one, he nailed it. We're looking for four more.
But anything that has, it could be, so it could be Blue Moon or Bad Moon, as long as it has moon.
As long as it has moon. If it's got the moon in it, I want it.
Okay. All right. And I have another guest for you on the literary Chicago. Though I don't know if this would be the first year or not. How about Richard Wright?
Richard Wright's in. Yeah, he was in the first year. Yeah, Native Son is set there, and he was definitely in that group. And he is the, one of the, with Bello and Ogren, the novelists, looking for two other authors, and perhaps not surprisingly, it's the two women we do not have.
So are the women known for being writers or...
Absolutely known for being writers. Yeah.
I know Edna Ferber was originally from Chicago, but I don't know if she...
She's not in the first year. I think she's in, but she's not in this first year. And she, okay. I think she's from Chicago, but not necessarily associated with it like these other two women are.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, you're right.
Is one of them a poet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Oh, well. All right.
Keep it out there. We've got time.
Okay. I think it's my turn to do a question here. Or actually, we are a little past halfway. So let's quickly repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, start with you.
Okay. All I have left is the names of some properties that at some point have been known as the Summer White House. The ones I have left are Harlequendon, Springwood, Blue Heron Farm, and Prairie Chapel Ranch, looking for the presidents who summered there.
Right. And I am in the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame, which started in 2010. I'm looking for the first six inductees, and we have Nelson Algren, Saul Bellow, Stud Sterkel, and Richard Wright. Two women were inducted that year. Who are they? And then in my Moon, Sun, Earth, I'm looking for number one Billboard hits that had either the word Moon, Sun, or Earth in them. We have Blue Moon, House of the Rising Sun, I Feel the Earth Move, and I'm looking for the, I think, four others.
Okay. And I'd like to know, what is the most commonly altered and counterfeited coin in the world? And it's right here in the United States, just so you know.
Oh, is it the dime?
It is not.
Okay.
So what is the most commonly altered and counterfeited coin in the world? And I want to know why it is. And I asked for the first names of these famous literary characters who are not commonly known by their first names at all. The ones we have left are Mr. Murdstone from David Copperfield, Raskolnikov from Crime and Punishment, Miss Havisham from Great Expectations, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, from The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and Mr. Dick, who I'm looking for the first and last real name, from David Copperfield. Okay. And I think it's my turn anyway, so let me do a question for you. In what country would you find the oldest pyramid in the world? It's 27,000 years old, roughly.
Is it the Sudan?
It is not.
Okay.
In what country would you find the oldest existing pyramid in the world?
And you said it's 27,000 years
up to, it's, they don't know the exact date, obviously, but it could be as much as 27,000 years old.
Is Kira in the right continent?
In Africa? No, she's not.
How about Peru?
Not Peru. Okay.
And then what about Guatemala then?
Not Guatemala.
Okay.
So, again, in what country would you find the oldest pyramid in the world? It's up to 27,000 years old.
Joanne is guessing Ecuador.
Ecuador, nope, not Ecuador.
And then my last guess is just Japan.
Not Japan.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, good morning. It's Danny and Sandra in Albany, and it is Sandra's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thanks for celebrating with us.
The beginning of our fabulous celebratory day.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes, you are, and you were invited.
We're here.
We just got sniped on Richard Wright. Do we have any other?
Well, I thought of Shel Silverstein, but then you said they were all women, so now I'm out.
Well, it's her birthday, so give her a bell for Shel Silverstein.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't want to be counted. Have a bell for Shel.
Yeah, it's her birthday. He came in four years later. Yeah.
Dr. Jekyll was Henry Jekyll.
That's correct. Henry Jekyll.
And I haven't the faintest recollection of what Mr. Hyde was, but I'm guessing it wasn't Henry. So let's see.
Anything else?
Yeah, well, I've got, how about the Billboard hit? Was Black Old Sun a number one?
No, it was not.
What?
And even though it's her birthday, we're not giving her that one. Sorry.
That wasn't me.
That was mine. The coin that is most counterfeited, could it be the Kennedy half?
It is not.
Oh, because the silver content changed after the first year. I thought maybe people were trying to kind of fob off the lower silver value, but so much for that. Okay, well, in the range of Earth, Sun, and Moon thoughts, so there are at least four car names that are specific celestial objects, and those are Mercury, Saturn, Vega, and Europa. But there are six car names that refer to non-specific celestial objects. I was wondering how many of them that you might be able to...
Comet.
Comet is one, yes.
Yeah.
Isn't there an eclipse?
There is. Well, that's sort of more of a phenomenon than an object, but I'll give it to you.
Okay. Oh, you want objects. Okay.
We'll give you a bell because it's my birthday.
Yeah, well, thank you.
It's in the sunbeam.
Those are, I think of those as phenomena, but these are actual objects.
Was there ever a meteor?
There was a Mercury meteor.
There you go.
Ding.
So comet, meteor.
And there's asteroid, but I've never heard of an asteroid.
No, asteroid, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I want to drive one of those.
It seems unlikely, yeah.
Yeah.
There a star, something with a star.
Yeah, there's the Tesla black hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, there are a couple that are staring you right in the face. I guess they're too obvious. One is a very large object, and one is an even larger, very large object.
Yeah. A very large.
What is a sort of a theatrically large object, as in it sort of appears and gets larger?
Appears and gets less. The sunrise or the sunset.
But that's a phenomenon again.
Yeah.
Right.
The universe, a galaxy, there's a galaxy.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's a large object indeed, yeah.
And somewhat smaller than the entire galaxy is...
there a constellation or something?
Oh, that's good too.
There's the Aries and the Taurus. Those are both constellations, but no, this is an actual...
Is it an astrological sign or any of those?
Okay. I'm going to give you that.
The Ford Taurus, but that's a
and a Dodge Aries.
Yeah, that's a constellation. And the Subaru is Japanese for Pleiades, but that's a little kind of out there. Subaru. Nova. The Nova.
Nice. Oh, Chevy Nova.
And then the two that are a little outside of that, there's a Pulsar, and then there's Plymouth satellite. I have no idea how long ago that was, but there was a Plymouth satellite that I haven't seen driving around lately. But that's always nice.
Happy birthday.
Well, happy birthday, yeah. Sandra.
Fabulous. Yeah. We hope she has
a lovely 21st birthday.
Bye.
See you in Albany. Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Bye-bye. All right. You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy hearing from you. And feel free to give us a call. Area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Yes, Tim was wondering about the galaxy eclipse. Was that a car? Galaxy eclipse? Huh. Galaxy. Same as Rita. And Mike was wondering, who's as a numismatist, my guess is the Morgan Dollar.
Oh.
Not the Morgan Dollar. It's not the Morgan Dollar. But yeah. And he's wondering if the pyramid is in Mexico. It's not in Mexico. And let's see. Nancy was wondering if one of the songs is Fly Me to the Moon.
It's not. It somewhere made the top 10, I believe, but it is not in the top. It's not a number one.
Okay.
But there's one of that era.
Right.
What about Earth Angel?
No.
That's good.
I looked high and low for Earth Angel. That was the one I was sure was there, but it was not. Made the top five.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is William from Napa.
Hi, William.
Hi, the coin I'm thinking is the nickel.
It is not the nickel.
Ah.
Which nickel were you, which version of the nickel were you thinking of?
Well, there's a famous nickel called the hobo nickel, which hobos carved to put different images on the nickel because it is a soft metal.
Okay. No. Anyway, it's not what I have, so put it that way.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And it's not the subway token. Joanne was wondering if it's a subway token, but no. I'm sure there are plenty of counterfeited subway tokens out there. The two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. All right, who has a question they want to throw in here?
I have one that's appropriate for this weekend, so if I could get it in.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, Kara. I was surprised. Which United States president was the first U.S. president to host a Seder? Passover starts this tomorrow night, and so I thought this would be an appropriate question. So which United States president was the first to host and sit down at the Passover table?
What about Carter?
Yeah.
Great guess, not Carter.
So was it Truman?
It was not Truman.
It wasn't before that, was it?
I think there's enough time, I won't say.
All right. Okay. Well, I know Obama did. I don't know if he was the first, and I'm pretty sure that Clinton did.
You know, so Obama was the first in 2009.
Yeah.
Clinton was the first to have staffers. He didn't go to it, but Clinton was the first one to have a Seder in the White House, but he did not host it. Okay, but Obama was. 2009 was the first.
Oh, okay.
Very good.
All right.
All right. So, Kara, you get one.
Oh, okay. So his September 1946 birthplace, a house on Shangani in Zanzibar's Stonetown, is now a museum dedicated to him. Her April 1926 birthplace, a house at 17 Bruton Street in Mayfair, has since been demolished and its lot occupied by part of an office building and the back portion of a Hakkasan restaurant. Name both figures.
Well, the Zanzibar one must be Freddie Mercury, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. He's the only singer I know that was born in Zanzibar.
Another singer from Zanzibar.
Yeah.
And is the other related to Freddie Mercury at all, or are these unrelated?
They're largely unrelated except for a relationship, sort of, but not really.
That's a good clue.
Give the information on the second one again.
The second one, her April 1926 birthplace, a house at 17 Bruton Street in Mayfair, has since been demolished and its lot occupied by part of an office building and the back portion of a Hakkasan restaurant.
Well, Mayfair is a pretty tony neighborhood.
And what country are we in exactly? I want to make sure. Where's Mayfair?
Dana can tell you.
Okay, Dana, where are we?
Well, Mayfair, if it's the same Mayfair I'm thinking of, is Mayfair in London, which is an extremely nice neighborhood.
1926.
Where the American Embassy is close there. 1926.
Okay. I think it's too late for... Is it Virginia Woolf?
Mm-mm.
No.
It is
not. No. Okay. So there's a small connection between Freddie Mercury and this person? Is that
not,
what you're saying?
Not really, but...
A fake small connection.
There's a fake connection, not a real connection.
Oh, fake connection. Yeah. Did Freddie Mercury sing about this person in a song?
You know, I don't... Not that I recall.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right. All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I had a couple of guesses. I was wondering if one of the songs was Michael Jackson's Earth Song.
No. It did not hit number one. A great guess. And it might have been too late. I cut off the date in 1992, so I'm not sure. But I don't think it made number one. Great guess.
Okay. Darn. And then was it Edward Hyde?
It was. Very good. Yes. Edward Hyde. Henry Jekyll and Edward Hyde.
Perfect. And then is it one of the early 1900 pennies that is the most counterfeit coin?
You are right. It is.
Yeah.
It's the 1909 Lincoln penny.
Wow.
It is the most counterfeited, altered and counterfeited coin, because if you change the mint date to an S, yes, it's easy to forge. And if you change the mint date to an S, it is worth a considerable amount of money. And it's relatively easy to do, I understand.
It's sold to collectors. Is that why?
And of course, everybody. It's not hard to find a 1909 penny. It's just hard to find the 1909 proper penny that is worth that particular amount of money. Yes, okay. That's an excellent guess. And I should point out that Tristan got that too, and there were a couple of people that got the penny on that. Yes, but very good.
Love it. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Ring your bell. Yes, 1909 S Lincoln cent. So, and let's see. Next call. Are you on Minds Over Matter?
I have the answer for the pyramid, 27,000-year-old pyramid. So it is in West Java and Indonesia. Correct.
It is.
Okay. Very, very, very quick question. Okay, 60,000 Japanese were killed by the Hiroshima bomb. How many Hiroshima bomb explosives were dropped in Gaza in the last 6 months? One, two, or three? I mean, it's explosive power. I'll give you the answer because the time is very short. Near three Hiroshima bomb were dropped in small, tiny area of Gaza in the last 6 months. Thank you. Always a great show. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Right. Thank you. And let's see. Oh, Sandra was wondering if the Mayfair address was the birthplace of the Queen.
Queen Elizabeth II. So, yes, I've given you the birthplaces for Freddie Mercury and Queen.
Good job, Sandra.
Oh, the Queen yes. Could have
Freddie Mercury and Queen Elizabeth II.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right.
I get it.
That's a close connection.
Yeah.
I have an answer for you, Dana, from my Law and Order, my once Law and Order watching husband. He says that Raskolnikov's first name is Rodian.
Rodian, yes, that's right.
Rodian?
Very good. Yeah. Good job.
Very good, John.
Rodian Raskolnikov. Very good. Good job on that. And want to give us a quick call? We have a few minutes left in the show. That's area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255 with a question or answer. You can have your own question. You can have your own answer. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I think that's me.
It is you.
Okay. I'm guessing Sandra Cisneros for a Chicago writer?
No, she wasn't in the first class. And I'll check to see if she's in later. It's a really good guess, but these are mostly earlier writers than Cisneros.
Okay, thank you.
Good guess.
Thank you very much. All right. So let's see now. We've got a couple minutes left. I'm trying to think what's left out here. So did you get all the ones for that first question you asked, Kira?
No, the presidential homes? No. Or the summer White Houses? No. Still missing Harley Kendon, Springwood, Blue Heron Farm, and Prairie Chapel Ranch.
Hmm.
So I will give you that Harley Kendon is in Cornish, New Hampshire. Springwood is in Hyde Park, New York.
Is that FDR then?
That is. Blue Heron Farm is in Martha's Vineyard. And Prairie Chapel Ranch is in Crawford, Texas.
So is Blue Heron a Kennedy retreat?
No, it's not.
Right.
Oh, Crawford, that's George W. Bush, isn't it?
Yes, Crawford, Texas is George W. Bush.
And then the one in New Hampshire, if you're going by the New Hampshire president, there's only been one. Is that Franklin Pierce?
It's not, no.
Or Calvin Coolidge?
It is not.
All right. Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's time to clean up here anyway. So let's do this. Okay. What do we have?
Harley Kendon is Woodrow Wilson, and Blue Heron Farm was Obama. And that's all I have left.
Oh, all right.
In my Chicago authors, I'll give you a hint. One is a playwright, very well-known playwright, African-American.
Lorraine Hansberry.
Yeah, Lorraine Hansberry, Raisin in the Sun. And the other is a really well-known poet of the 40s and 50s. It's Gwendolyn Brooks. So that's the one we missed.
Okay.
And then on the music questions, the ones we are missing, one I don't think you would have gotten, which is Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth by George Harrison. Then we had Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, George Michael and Elton John. Seasons in the Sun, which I remember from being in high school, by the Terry Jacks. Mm-hmm. And then the great How High the Moon by Les Paul and Mary Ford. And that runs the three-body problem for me in Billboard songs. That's it.
Okay. And the literary first names of these characters, Edward Murdstone from David Copperfield, Catherine Miss Havisham from Great Expectations, of course, Henry Jekyll and Edward Hyde. And Mr. Dick's real name is Richard Babley.
Babley?
Babley, B-A-B-L-E-Y, from David Copperfield. Anyway, if we didn't get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We do hope you enjoy the show. We certainly enjoy hearing from you. Our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and even thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Happy birthday, Sandra. And we do hope you will join us next Saturday at 10 a.m. Take care, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.